Vermont produces more than half of the country's maple syrup. And this past weekend, dozens of sugar houses across the state invited visitors in to see how it's done. Kelsey Kupferer and Kate Luton of the University of Vermont Community News Service went out during the statewide maple open house weekend. And they bring us this audio postcard. We'll start with Kate in Stowe.
So I just did, I mixed it all together to try to get a consistent read.
I'm at Nebraska Knoll Sugar Farm, and I would not be recording without the help of Lou Cody, who gave me a working memory card when mine broke.
I do.
Cody is the longtime owner of Nebraska Knoll.
I've been taking punishment here for close to 50 years now.
Oh, wow, yeah. Punishment, of course, is tongue-in-cheek. Cody and his family have run the sugar house since 1980, and each March they tap 9,000 trees on the hillside.
There's definitely a lot of romance associated with it.
But it's not all romance. The success of sugaring relies on weather, machinery, and people, all of which occasionally have a will of their own.
It's a lot of hard work. It is extremely frustrating at times, but there's something extremely seductive about it, and other days I just marvel.
For Cody, the magic of maple is that a gourmet food can come out of a tree. All you need is some blood, sweat, tears, and an evaporator.
That's how I got sucked into it.
Yeah.
And after 50 years, I still can't give it up.
Sugaring is something quintessentially Vermont, and Cody says visitors from out of state flock to see it happen.
I mean, I think they like to see the whole process from the sap coming into the lines, through the reverse osmosis into the evaporator, and from there into their cup.
Lynn Goldsmith is visiting Nebraska Knoll today. She's a Stowe local, and more importantly, she's a maple fanatic.
Do you eat maple syrup a lot? Like, is this
I go through
like?
A gallon of maple syrup about every 2 months.
Wow.
Goldsmith is a relatively new enthusiast. She got hooked after a friend gave her family-made maple syrup.
And that was my first exposure to maple overdose, and I've been powering through them ever since.
Goldsmith was at Nebraska Knoll to experience another first.
I'd never had sugar on snow.
Really?
And I wouldn't have heard of it if I hadn't been watching a cooking show called What's Your Favorite Food? And he said sugar on snow. And then when he described it, I'm like, how is that possible? Like pickles and donuts. And anyway, so I had to try it.
I like that story. It's awesome.
Lou Cody talks about sugaring as a meditative practice. You can see it for yourself next time you're in Stowe. And maybe even meet Lou. For the University of Vermont Community News Service, I'm Kate Lewin.
And I'm Kelsey Kupferer. I'm in the sugar bush at the Green Mountain Audubon Center in Huntington.
Let's see how much is in it.
5-year-old Hugo Beam is showing me how he collects sap from a metal bucket hanging from one of the maple trees.
Holy cow! Look how much sap is in there.
Hugo is here with his parents and older brother for the Audubon Center's annual Sugar on Snow party.
Oh my god.
The day Hugo and I were there, more than 900 people came through to tap trees, collect sap, eat sugar on snow with a pickle, and spend time in the sugar house, watching sap boil over a wood fire. That's where 15-year-old Remy Gerton is volunteering. Remy is from Duxbury, and he says he's been sugaring for as long as he can remember.
It's really part of Vermont culture. I mean, every store you find maple that's probably been made 10, 15 miles away. All the sugar makers know each other, and it's just something like everyone will see the buckets out, the tubing is running, steam coming out, and it's sugaring season.
The lighter stuff is a golden color and a very delicate maple flavor.
Steve Hagenbu is giving a maple grading demonstration in the sugar house. He's worked with Audubon Vermont for 27 years. One of his colleagues called him Mr. Maple.
I mean, maple is iconic Vermont. It's way more than just a product that we produce. It's a way of life and an identity for many people.
Hagenbu leads the Bird Friendly Maple Program. It gets maple producers involved with bird conservation efforts. It's all about being good stewards of the forest.
Those forests really do play lots of other important roles year round, not just during the couple weeks of the sugaring season, but also supporting birds and biodiversity and climate resilience and all the important things that our forests do for us. Sugar bushes are part of that.
We're going this way.
Little kids are running from tree to tree collecting sap all around us. And Hagenbu says he wants more people to understand how we get maple syrup and all our food, really.
Fewer and fewer people today are connected to the land. And so the more that we can do to have young people understand that maple syrup doesn't come from a store, it comes from the forest and the people that are working out there to make it happen, that is something that we want to support as much as we possibly can.
Hagenbu says anyone who likes maple syrup should experience collecting sap on a cold, wet day in knee-deep snow.
And it just builds good character to be out there in the woods.
If you want to join the next big maple celebration, you can head to St. Albans at the end of April for the Vermont Maple Festival. For the University of Vermont Community News Service, I'm Kelsey Kupfer.